You know, we're live on the tube, John. I actually hit start on the tube instead of on the audio. So could we do the open of the show again for the audio, please?
Yeah, let me.
No, keep it rolling.
Let me restart. I was off too.
All right, let me know when you're ready.
Ready, Freddy.
3, 2, middle cough.
Hey, Habes.
Now we're rolling. What's up, everybody? Recording this podcast late Tuesday. You know, anything after 11, I think you and I call lunchtime. Is that fair?
Say that again.
Anything after 11 a.m., you and I call lunchtime.
Depending on my mood, I mean, I can go early as like 9:45, 10. You know, if you're thinking sandwiches, burgers, and burritos.
I think moving forward, just understand everybody, when we say lunchtime, that could mean at least in the 11 o'clock hour Pacific time zone. Let's just be clear about that.
Yeah, and if we're on one of our Phil fasts, it could mean 2:30.
It could. Which is nothing but Phil coffee.
I did a Phil fast yesterday till dinner. The problem is after a day of fasting, just one meal, you wake up really, really hungry.
Yeah. Yeah.
One thing I've noticed.
Little undernourished. Maybe you don't get shaky? I get shaky.
It's kind of, you just break through it. You know, I think the first couple times you do it, it's really difficult. And once you do it, you realize you don't need as much food as you think you need. And you feel better. Like, that's one thing I've found. But it's hard. I mean, it's a mental, I mean, you guys, I don't know if Haberman's, you guys, you know, in the Jewish religion, you're supposed to do that fasting stretch for that week.
Yeah.
But you've never partaken.
Say, sun up to sundown is when the fast occurs. You fast during the day. You can eat at night.
No,
yeah. Have I ever made it a week? I don't think so.
You made it a day?
You know, I might have tried. Whether or not I've made it, hard to say.
And I'm not one to judge.
I know you're not.
You're talking probably the least religious human ever, but. It's a war with your mind. It really is. When you've eaten as much as guys like me and you have over our lives, you can spare a couple.
Yeah, it's
hours.
Why we root for John Rahm, John. It's why we root for the John Rahms, the Phil Mickelsons. Like I was telling you, watching John Rahm the other day, because you tweeted, it's what'd you say, like big day for chubby guys out west, big win for chubby guys out west. My thought when I saw it reminded me of a take I had last week when I was walking down the Union Street, and you know I was. I was like, maybe I'll do some exercising. But I was going to get some dinner, and I had a dry fit t-shirt on, and I was like, I'll take Union. It's bustling. It's a nice walk. And I was walking against the wind. And anybody with a belly knows walking with a dry fit to start is a risky move. Then you go into the wind, and the wind just pushes the dry fit against you, and you just look like one belly button walking down the street, like one of the, you know, the belly button kind of shadow that you get. And I caught a glance in the reflection, and I was like, this is not, I got to always walk with the wind if I'm going to wear a dry fit. Lesson learned.
And anyone who has judged human beings, just their body types, knows that taller, longer people. And Scott Van Pelt's always been big on this. He's always claimed to be a skinny fat guy. But when you're 6'6", you can be really, really fat in your own body, and you don't really realize it. Because you and I were talking, I think we said this off air, Dustin Johnson, who when we saw him at the Pebble Beach U.S. Open a couple years ago, I remember he hit one kind of off the beaten path at 18. I stood right next to him, and I remember thinking, like, this guy is in elite shape. I think the last couple of years he's put on some pounds, and he's got a little, you know, kind of side love handle going, but he's still so tall that it doesn't look that bad, right? Even Rahm, while chubby and a clear belly, pulls it off better than you would. He's probably, what would you, you've been around him, what, 6'1", 6'2"?
Yeah, he's
John?
Not, I don't think he's
Rambo?
Like, yeah, he's big, he's just, but you're right, he's just, that's his body type, big calves, big arms, just solid, yeah.
Like, he's built like a, you know, like a pass rushing DT. You know, it doesn't look that bad. But if you're like Brian Harmon size, or, you know, like Henry Ruggs, and you're 30 pounds overweight, terrible look. Right?
Yeah.
Anyone under 6 feet, chubbiness does not wear well.
No. No.
I've known a lot of people in my life, parents, friends growing up. There's like a line of delineation. You're like over 6'1". Some guys look like when they get a little bigger, it's like, God, that guy looks pretty good. You know, they just, it just kind of fills out their body.
Lanky.
But a guy 5'11 and below, it's like, Jesus.
We call that husky.
Just looks fat.
Husky is what I like to call that. Husky. Yeah. That's what my mom called it, at least. John, a few things. Number one, get in the mailbag. It's going to be a big mailbag. Get in the mailbag. You can also go to the Haberman and Middlecoff Facebook page. You just go to facebook.com/promocodeham. Facebook.com/promocodeham. If you want to find the Facebook page, I don't think it's in the link of the video, but it will be, and it will also be in the link of the podcast. Leave us questions for the mailbag. In that, we started doing this. I got a few DMs. People like this idea. Give us your favorite bar in addition to your question. So mailbag, put a question. Give us your favorite place to watch a game. What are you looking forward to? Football season, the countdown is on. We just like, you know, talking about places that are cool, and all of a sudden we connect on places. Some guy texted, DM me. He's like, oh, Middlecoff hasn't taken you to stadium yet? I was like, well, we've gone to a couple places, but I don't know if stadium was one of them in Walnut Creek in your hood. Somebody else hit me up. Was like, oh, drinks on me at bus stop. Which is bus stop is popping. Anyway,
I've been there.
So do mailbag bar. Leave us a question for the mailbag. We'll record the mailbag on Friday live on YouTube, and also tell us your favorite spot. Doesn't have to be Bay Area. Just your favorite spot. Everyone, we always love talking about that kind of thing. So hit us with that.
Yep. Like I mentioned, the Facebook page. We're live on YouTube. Just type in Haberman and Middlecoff to both. Anything else? I didn't write
Wednesday
down
night.
Some of our to-do list.
Our wine. Well,
Wednesday
wine,
night.
Wait, can I call it Wine Wednesday, or do we want to call it that?
Yeah, it's, we used to call that at when I lived at Cal Poly. There was a lot of Wine Wednesdays going on fucking at every goddamn house. But we will have a Wine Wednesday brought to you by our friends at wineaccess.com/ham. And we are going to watch... Is it an individual game or just overall plays from his career?
No, right, no, we've got a cut up.
The
John.
Producer set it up.
We've got at this point about 35 throws. I think it's going to grow. That'll last us a long time. But yeah, we're going to go through
any runs.
We are breaking it up into six categories. Trey Lance plays. We're going to watch them together live on YouTube, 7 o'clock Wednesday night. With our Wine Access, okay? 7 o'clock Wednesday night, June 23rd, Wine Wednesday, watching Trey Lance cut-ups. We've done this. We did this for the draft last year. We didn't do it live. And so the categories we have are arm strength, running ability, pocket mobility, balls that should have been picked, looks like a play that the 49ers would run, and other. And, cool. Yeah, so those are the six. What do you think of those six categories?
I like it. Because I do think that balls that should have been picked has been something that's really gained steam this past decade. I don't remember, obviously in a game, you're like, whoa, we got lucky there. But it's something that like stays with guys. Like PFF's like, don't ever forget, he threw 17 passes last year. Because that's a big thing that they love saying.
Yeah.
And in fairness, it's true.
It is true.
But it's like, my pushback, and we'll dive into this, I'm sure, when we're watching, is like, there's a reason... People foul tip balls that are 99 and not balls that are 91 for home runs, right?
Yeah.
So it's like Kaepernick threw way less picks than he would have if he had had Alex Smith on.
Right.
You know, there's a reason Phillip Rivers, Peyton Manning, like some of these guys have thrown a lot of picks over the years. Even Favre is a good example of a guy that was throwing, I'd say by his older years.
You're saying the NFL's all-time leader in picks should have thrown more picks?
100%. I bet if we did a deep dive.
And not, by the way, not all of these are interceptable, but there is a common theme, John, on Trey Lance throws that should have been picked. Now, again, you talk to two guys who are very, very bullish on Trey Lance. So it's just going to be fun. There's going to be some throws that are completed. There's going to be some throws that aren't. There's going to be some plays that I think we debate. Would this have been a completion in the NFL? There's going to be some things in pocket mobility that are really about his arm, and so there's a lot going on, but I...
Well, let's face it. Of the five guys that are very, I'd say, well-known right now, right? Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Fields, Mac Jones, the other four that were drafted in the top 15. The casual football fan have seen all those guys play,
yeah.
Right? And depending on what individual, like they saw a lot of Mac Jones. They saw Fields' biggest games of his career. They saw Trevor Lawrence in the playoffs every year.
3 years ago.
Zach Wilson, what would you say Zach Wilson, like, probably mid-season with Gaines' team, people were kind of just peaking.
Yeah, and
out.
Even if you weren't watching BYU.
Think most people have seen anything.
Even if you weren't watching BYU, John, Zach Wilson highlights were everywhere all year long.
I feel the majority of people, myself included, beside a little bit, you've seen more Trey Lance than me, just doing this, cutting it up for the video. I don't think most people have seen him. Like, they know. I think the casual guy's like, he's big, he's fast, got a big arm, can't wait. You're like, you remember any throws? Like, I actually haven't seen any, but I can't wait. Kyle signs off, I sign off.
Yep.
Which is unique. Like, people, like, I bet in New England, like, they have a take. They're like, you know, I remember Mac or Justin Fields or whatever. Like, I saw him play. Like, I have an opinion. No one, the opinions are just probably leaning positive because you hope.
Yeah. Yeah, you hope. And,
which is cool.
Yeah.
It kind of like a European basketball player 5-6 years ago, I'd say. Right? Giannis, okay, he's big. Let's see what he's got.
More tape, at least, than him going one-on-one with a chair. On YouTube, Runaway Turtle says, what about the category, things Mac Jones couldn't do? That's actually the whole playlist. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, that'll be something that Scott Zolak and his partners put together at 97.5 WEEI Boston Sports Hub.
Two different stations.
Is that what it is? Yeah.
I think they're rivals, John. EEI and the Sports Hub. Yeah. Russillo hates one of them. I can't remember which. But
he's like, Zolak's like, keep making fun of us, Middlecoff. We do a 10-share.
Yeah, like, yeah. He's like, keep making fun of us, Middlecoff. Have you seen the? Have you seen Warren Sharp's list?
Business has been pretty good for a long time.
Yeah, business, yeah, it's true. But hey,
pretty sure the Sports Hub where Zolak is where the Patriots have been,
and right. EEI is where the Red Sox are. But EEI, was that where Tom Brady did his radio show?
It's a good question. I feel like that's true. Yeah, maybe the Patriots were there.
I don't know.
It'd be more if I ran a radio in New England. Never even been actually to the New England area. I would choose the Red Sox over the Patriots, even in the peak of Tom, because my guys could still talk Tom. I would rather have the Red Sox property right for 6 months.
Yeah,
little inside radio. You'd always take the baseball team, the big one. You know, the A's. You know, no offense. I like the A's. They're a great story, but not a great radio property relative to the Giants. Again, no shots there. I mean, I'm correct guy. I like their property. They just don't rate.
Yeah, and baseball just historically.
I'm being serious. I'm not being sarcastic.
I was just going to say, and baseball just from historically with radio, just from a volume play, you get 162 games, a lot of them at night when your competitors don't have much, they're not really even trying. And then your radio is on that game because it goes very late. Your radio is on that game. You wake up in the morning. Your radio is still tuned to that station, and that's why baseball historically has been an absolute killer for local radio.
Yeah.
Volume and timing. It doesn't take out, for the most part, your major programming, you know. Anyway, what are we talking about? Okay. Wednesday night, Trey Lance, check it out. Check out our friends at wineaccess.com/ham. Wineaccess.com/ham. 20% off. 20% off at wineaccess.com/ham.
Guy, wineaccess.com/ham. Here's what I need you to do. I say this over and over. I'm going to keep hammering home. You have friends. You have significant others. You have family members. You probably haven't done something nice for them in recent memory. And what you can do, because let's face it, people like to drink. You go to wineaccess.com/ham. You use our, you just do that, and you get 20% off anything you order. And you send them a gift. And all of a sudden, knock, 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 and they open the door. Because you got to sign off it, because you got to be over 21. And then they deliver a bottle, 3 bottles, 6 bottles, whatever you choose to send them, and you can get great deals. And they are so happy with you. And then your father, your mother, your mother-in-law, your cousin, your brother who lives in a different state loves you even more. That's what I recommend doing, guy. Wineaccess.com/ham. Send a gift today on us. On us.
Yeah, it's really several, so many great options. One of 18 bottles, they try 20,000 of them a year, makes the site, has to be unanimously approved by the Wine Access. Sommeliers and experts, and they give you more than just a bottle of wine. They give you background on the bottle. They tell you about the bottle, the history of the bottle, what it's about, what's in it, and what it pairs well with. So even if you're not a wine expert like us, or you're sending it to somebody who's not a wine expert, they can be an expert with the bottles they get from our friends at wineaccess.com/ham. So many people who listen and watch have used it and have told us they loved it. They're going to use it again. We're in that category as well. So we appreciate them. We appreciate you. And wineaccess.com/ham. 20%.
Yep, wineaccess.com/ham.
All right, here we go, John. Let's dive into some things. One of the stories of the week has been something that Jeremy Fowler said on SportsCenter on Saturday over the weekend. I'm told San Fran spent much of the OTAs and minicamp working on Trey Lance's mechanics, making sure things were compact. And the reason they wanted to get that down is so that in training camp, they can unleash the full arsenal. They can show him off as a runner. They don't want to put him in harm's way and have him take too many hits. But they love the dimension he can bring to Kyle Shanahan's attack because they couldn't do it with Jimmy Garoppolo. They could do it with Lance as a runner and a passer. You know, you and I talked about this before the draft. We talked about it with Mel Kiper when Mel Kiper was on the podcast, remember? And Mel said,
I don't remember that. Don't worry about his mechanics.
And I'd be interested to hear kind of your perspective, having scouted guys, how much a quarterback's mechanics come up in draft rooms. Because sometimes the discussion is just, hey, a guy throws the way he throws. There's only so much you can do. But you and I talked about this when we were at the Niners OTA practice that we attended, that even though it's hard to do an apples-to-apples comparison between him and Jimmy because they're not always throwing the same route, there are times where they take a snap simultaneously. And I did think watching them that Jimmy consistently got rid of the ball quicker than Trey Lance did. Now, I do think one of Garoppolo's great attributes is that when he decides to throw, he gets rid of the ball. I do think he gets rid of the ball quickly to begin with. I don't know where he ranks from a statistical standpoint, but I do think his release is quick, right? So Trey Lance is going up against a guy that's been honing that release for a while. But nonetheless, is this something you think that can actually be improved in this short of amount of time? Because it looks like they think they're
It is a defining attribute for Jimmy, for sure. And you just notice it at training camp, or the practice we're at, just relative to Trey Lance. He gets rid of the ball fast. He does not have an elongated release. I think when you're scouting a guy, unless you're a former coach, I think you can see loopy releases, right? You could see that. My mom could see that. A Tim Tebow-level release, right? I think Cam's always had a little bit of a funky release. And I think there were some questions, I know from my scouting buddies that went through North Dakota State that thought it was a little long, elongated. So if you just work on matching a quicker release with your footwork so it's all kind of in one motion, just to make things faster. But I am a big believer, and just being a guy that has played a lot of golf and who have worked on things over my life, and I think anyone who's played as a baseball player, any swing, and I think a throwing motion is very similar, you do have some muscle memory. So Trey Lance has been throwing like he's been throwing since he's been throwing a football, which I think he's 21, it's fair to say, pretty consistently, probably since 10 years old, right? Just been the quarterback for recess, junior high, high school. Like, you just, it's hard to break those habits. I don't think you can just snap a finger and get a different release pattern than you had before. But I think it's fair to say that the Niners isolated something in his mechanics that they want to improve on. I don't think you can just snap your fingers and think you have a new throwing motion, though.
You know,
so I think that's a positive thing. Like, you, I also think when you read a headline like that, fundamentals sound so trivial, I think, in pro sports, where I've always believed just the best players, and the best players of our lifetime, right? Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, but you can use other sports as well. Kobe Bryant, I think Michael, I'm sure baseball players for sure, Derek Jeter, their fundamentals at their craft, whether it's playing shortstop, whether it's the footwork in the post, whether it's Peyton Manning on his play action fakes, they master that. I bet if you went to a Colts practice in like 09, the individual period, like you and I think know the vernacular if you're listening, football practices are kind of broken up into individual, group, team, right? Individual, you're with your position. Group, running backs, quarterbacks, centers, right? Wide receivers, corners, D-linemen, O-linemen. And then you get together as the bigger group and you're constantly working on fundamentals that lead up to 11 on 11, right? Which incorporate the play, but you have fundamentals within the play. You have to master the fundamentals before you can become a great player in a team setting. And that I think that works for any sport. And you could argue probably any walk of life. The most basic things you do lead to the bigger things you do. And you just, I think it's more just establishing good habits,
than trying to just change his fundamentals overnight, which to me, they're clearly trying to improve on some stuff, but I don't think you can expect to see a dramatically different player than we're going to peek at on Thursday night or Wednesday night, excuse me.
You know, Steph Curry, right, famously changed his jump shot at a young age, as a teenager, changed his jump shot to get a higher release. He had not grown much yet, but that was at a younger age. I also think first of all, I think from a fundamental standpoint, like if we talk about fundamentals, if you said, let's rank NFL player fundamentals, I think Tom Brady's footwork is something that comes up a lot, right? And that's the kind of thing that you can overcome for a short period of time when you're athletically maybe at your peak or when you're young enough to make up for mistakes, that as time goes on, if you don't have those ingrained fundamentals, as you age, I think that tends to be also where we start to see the issue. In other words, let's say Trey Lance doesn't have as quick a release as you want as a rookie, but he's very mobile within the pocket, can get out of trouble, can run, right? Those are things that maybe you can overcome. If Drew Brees didn't have incredible fundamentals, Drew Brees is probably out of the league who knows how many years ago, even with the brain he has. And we've seen the famous video that Reggie Bush took of Drew practicing on air in the practice dome 2 years ago. Was it 2 years ago or last year? Whichever. Like, it's not fake. It's very real. I think the question with Trey, this idea that this is what I would ask a quarterback coach. So you're going to work on his fundamentals here for 40 days, and then you're going to say, okay, the idea is that when we get back, he's going to be ready to roll. I do think there's probably an element of you don't really know how tight you have whatever you're working on until you're playing against live bullets, right?
That's what, like, I'm saying, because you resort back to muscle memory.
Yeah, you can ingrain it until all of a sudden, you know, the rhythm's off because the receiver got jammed and there's a pass rush and somebody missed a block and X, Y, Z. So I think it'll take time, which is fine. This guy does not have – part of the – one of the questions with Trey Lance is also why there's so much upside, right? There's not a lot that he's really done live action quarterbacking a football team. He hasn't done a lot of it beyond high school.
And I think you hit it on best. You never truly know what you have to work on until you play in live situations. I think you hear it a lot with baseball players. Like, if you want to get really inside baseball and the nitty-gritty and just follow and read about a team and young players, how they can't hit a pitch, they go back down, they work on the pitch. They're like, I think they got it. But then they maybe come back up to the big leagues, they still can't hit the pitch. There's just that hole in the swing that they just can't change it, right? I think a golf swing is a great example. Tiger's really the only guy who changed his golf swing over and over, because most times, I know the thing in golf, and I think this is the same in baseball, same in any sport, pressure, just your body just reacts.
I thought you didn't go low kneel.
Well, no.
Bust pipes and creates diamonds or whatever.
You can't, yeah. Pressure, yeah. Because you can't think when you play. And part of what makes Tom Brady great, right, his footwork is ingrained. Peyton Manning's footwork was ingrained, right? Derek Jeter, Brandon Crawford's a good example. It's just the way he plays at shortstop now, he doesn't think. He just plays, right? You watch John Rahm. John Rahm's just playing. But you built that up, and the throwing motion is a good example of Trey may never have to do the level of, not that he shouldn't, but things that Drew Brees had to do to overcome his physical limitations. But he will have to master just the basic fundamentals of... Part of why Drew Brees, remember that, was like in the end zone, was like thinking about his red zone looks. Like, Drew can't run, right? Drew knows if shit hits the fan and I got nowhere to go and I don't know my read immediately based on the 7 different coverages I could see, I'm fucked. Like, there is an element that Trey is going to have that you just got to meet that balance, because at the end of the day, when shit is the fan, you can just take off. Right? I mean, that's part of the deal. Because part of it was like, Jimmy, don't run! But you didn't want Jimmy to run because he couldn't run away from anybody. Part of it's like, Trey, go! That to me is a big difference with a running quarterback. And then, which I don't know, I'm interested to see. I remember just with Michael Vick, for example, you were always nervous with him running because he couldn't slide.
Right.
So you're like, oh my God, he's going to take a big hit. That's the thing with Russell. You're like, take off, Russell, because you know he'll just slide.
Yep. Here's a quick preview, John.
So I'm fascinated to see, and we won't know till we start watching him run, like, what's his running style like? Is it like avoiding? I know we'll see what he did in North Dakota State, but what's the first time when he sees
NFL speed?
Minka Fitzpatrick and him at the corner, right? Well, I think he's going to try and just go through the schedule.
Look, should we just one quick preview of Wednesday night? We're watching for those of you listening to the podcast. Just a little watching. I think one thing that'll come up too as we watch him is, you know, this goes back to the hard thing to judge. Some of these guys that he's playing are not NFL players, the majority of them.
Wait, that's not Jamal Adams or Jalen Ramsey or J.J.
I think it was
Watt?
Ed Reed. I think it was an all-star barnstorming team made up of just elite safeties. Gotcha. But anyway. Look, the point is...
Buda Baker?
Buda was not there. Nope. Buda was not there. Who's the guy the Cardinals
but that's
drafted
the thing.
Last year?
Like Isaiah Simmons
was not there.
Wouldn't you say in this division, Buda Baker... I mean, Jalen Ramsey will rock.
Jamal Adams.
I mean, those are some guys that are coming, right? I bet the two guys, Jamal Adams and Buda Baker, will take a lot of pride. Whenever this guy plays, if he plays against them as a rookie, that's a big moment for those two. Like, okay,
well,
motherfucker,
you know, I dare you to take off.
This goes back. Is there a responsibility for Kwaski Tartt and Jimmy Ward? They can't hit them. But is there a way to send the mess? Is there a way to give him what feels more like NFL live speed looks, right? You miss this opportunity when you can't get hit in practice because you at least know those guys would pull up a little bit. So we'll have to wait till the preseason. Yeah.
Those guys, you touch them.
No, I'm not suggesting they hit them. I'm just saying.
Packing your shit.
Those guys would be great guys to. They do that to other quarterbacks, right?
But it is the problem with. Trying to evaluate your young quarterback in a practice, you don't truly know what you have till that guy doesn't have to slow down in the last step.
Yeah. Until
and who knows? Maybe the instincts of the quarterback does a 360 and he makes
until the quarterback's that's playing a game about. That he knows they can't hit him in, or they can hit him in.
Well, I bet I'll never forget. I think it was Thursday Night Football, Browns. Carolina Panthers and Johnny Manziel in the NFL, I'm sure in practice, was like running away from guys, and all of a sudden he takes off. And this guy, I think he goes by the name of Luke Kuechly, was like, I don't think you're going to beat me to the sideline, and destroyed him like you watch a lion on a gazelle in the Serengeti. And I bet Johnny, for the first time, was like, oh, that's a middle linebacker, not a corner, not a safety, the middle linebacker who is way bigger than Johnny. Remember, Luke was big. I mean, destroyed him.
Harrowing Wisdom on YouTube says, Buda Baker sees Kyler every day in practice. He's way more used to playing against mobile quarterbacks.
Well, I just think Buda Baker's a baller. Like, I just think.
All right.
Love that guy.
I know. We're pro Buda. We're pro safeties on this. We're pro a lot of things on this
show. Do you remember watching him in college? Like, was he their sweet dude?
Yeah, he was sweet. I mean, they had several sweet dudes, right? I mean, you think about what they produced.
Kevin King.
Sidney Jones. Who tore his Achilles coming out. But they got another guy this year,
Trent
McDuffie, who's supposed to be good.
I mean, their defensive backfield had King, who's a starter for the Packers, Sidney Jones, who was clearly a dude before his Achilles ripped at the pro day, and Buda Baker. Like, that's a pretty elite secondary for Pac-12 standards, right? I mean, that'd be good in the SEC.
And Byron Jones.
Who's on the Cowboys?
Different Byron Jones.
Different.
The guy, I think he's on the Dolphins now.
He was a drafted player. Oh, the corner.
Wait, was that his name, Byron Jones?
Was he on the Cowboys?
Well, there was a Byron Jones on the Cowboys, like, but it's a different Byron. Maybe I've got the name wrong.
I feel like Byron Jones on...
Byron Murphy. I'm sorry, Murphy.
Byron Murphy. Where's he?
Arizona, I think. Isn't he there too?
DB. Yeah. He was a little younger in those
DBU,
guys,
they
right?
just said like Tennessee just drafted Elijah Molden, whose dad played in the league. Good fit.
God, they are producing a lot
of
babies.
Okay, John, next up. Something that happened over the weekend and then something that happened on Tuesday morning. First, Adam Rank, who is just a legend in the Niner community because he predicted they'd go 3-13 the year they went to the Super Bowl, and he wears it well. He wrote, for 2021, to be a success, the Niners must make the Super Bowl. And then I take that and combine it with what Warren Sharp tweeted on Tuesday. A list, for those of you who haven't seen it, winning season since 2003, and he ranked the most winning season since 2003, the New England Patriots with 17. There's nobody with 16. There's nobody with 15. Seattle has the second most winning seasons since 2003. They have 14. Then at 13, I mean, you could guess some of these teams, right? 13 winning seasons since 03, Indy, Green Bay, Pittsburgh, Baltimore. Kansas City.
Seattle sneaky had a pretty good two-decade run, huh?
Holmgren and Pete. Yeah. The Holmgren, I think, gets forgotten probably, that this run is longer than Pete. Then we rattle down the list. Four winning seasons since 03, Detroit, Jacksonville, San Francisco. And to me, this list by Warren Sharp highlights why Adam Rank's proclamation that it's Super Bowl or bust is incorrect. And you and I have talked about this in the Shanahan era and big picture. This organization's next first step is not go win the Super Bowl. Just because they were in the Super Bowl 2 years ago doesn't mean they have to win the Super Bowl. But the standard does need to be boom or bust is great if you boom. But it's been too many busts in the last, 25 years. Now, recently, there have been some high highs. But the standard this year for me is not win the Super Bowl or even go to the Super Bowl. It's just go back to the playoffs and establish once again that you are what we think Kyle Shanahan is as one of the best teams in the league. And by best teams, I don't mean top three even this year. I just mean be among the regulars that we don't worry about. We don't ever talk about. We don't spend months talking about Pittsburgh. Are they ever going to make the playoffs again? Green Bay. Is this the year they bust? The Niners have busted. They've boomed, but they've busted too much. The way we talk about them is built on four years since 03. It's pretty crazy.
I actually think it symbolizes, though, kind of the NFL in the sense of from 03 to 10, the Niners were a joke. Those two teams below them on that list, for the people watching on YouTube, if you can't see, the worst team in the league was the Raiders, and the second worst team in the league was the Browns. I mean, those two teams, there's no one at three. Cleveland's made the playoffs twice. I don't remember the other time. I know it happened, but I do remember the Raiders' time because that was when Derek broke his leg or
Connor
ankle.
Cook.
But the difference there is the Niners were Cleveland and the Raiders from 10 to 3 or 3 to 10, right? Tom Sula, Nolan, Jed's dad, like they were a laughingstock. I'll never forget in college when I just kind of tuned them out
because
they were so terrible. And the conversation, I was way more into USC and Pete and Matt Leinart, and the conversation was like, Matt Leinart's going back to school, and Pete doesn't want to coach the Niners. Whether that was true or not, I was a college kid, but I remember that feeling very serious. Yeah. And most people were like, yeah, if I was Pete, I wouldn't fucking touch the Niners. And it wasn't even that crazy. And then really they've been defined by two coaches, right? Harbaugh and then Kyle. Like they have been kind of like a college program, right? They have not been, even Harbaugh was loaded with Pro Bowlers. He was the star of the team. The Niners, not quite the star power, but in his one big year, they did make the Super Bowl. Kyle was the star. And it's like, when you get the right head coach, you got a chance. But back to what I've always said about Kyle, say what you want about Harbaugh. Three of the 4 years, his roster was better when he inherited, but they were not winning before he got there. He went to the playoffs 3 or 4 years. Three straight NFC championships, and then his shittiest year was 8-8. Like, Kyle's shitty years have been drafting really high. And that, like you said, ultimately to be, I mean, look at, to me, that second line after Seattle, Indy, Green Bay, Pittsburgh, Baltimore. What do all those have? Like, every year just feels like, for 20 years, basically, those programs and organizations, and organizations and franchises, like, their fans, there's not one of those teams right now whose fan doesn't go, if this shit goes well, We definitely are in the championship game.
I think, right? Yeah, John, I would characterize it this way. Do you have a chance? There's a lot of luck that has to happen. I tried to buy the book, but it's not out till October. There's a new Patriots book that's coming out in October by, I don't know who.
Curran?
I don't think it's
Holly?
Curran. I don't think it's Holly.
Wickersham.
Yeah, can't wait. And one of the excerpts or one of the highlights I saw was like, one of the things that the Patriots have had going for them. And if you've been watching them, you know this, and it's okay to say this. I always say this. You can say a team that won a championship had luck, because every team in the history of any sport that's ever won a title, except like the Dream Team, needed a little bit of, like USA softball in the 90s, needed a little bit of luck. Most championships are not won by bulldozers, right? Most championships, Alabama's needed luck. Everybody has needed luck for the most part to win a title. So there's nothing dirty about luck.
I think Tiger won the U.S. Tiger won the U.S. Open, I think, by 15 shots at Pebble Beach.
He was lucky. He could have won it by 12. Could have gotten dicey. You're right. He's in the category.
I might have those mixed up. But yeah, it's
but
rare.
For the most
part,
like,
it's like Tiger Dream Team. I mean, it's, it doesn't
but,
happen.
But what I would say is you just need to be in position to have a shot for a few things to go your way. Right? And that's what Indy and Green Bay and Pittsburgh and Baltimore are. And if we talk about Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers, we're like, it's kind of crazy they don't have another one. And Drew Brees, it's kind of crazy they don't have another one. It is. It is. But they are in the mix all the time. Your fan base starts a year knowing we got a shot here. And then the postseason rolls around and we got a shot here. And that is sports is about. If you're creating a fan base, is making your fan base feel for 12 months or 8 months, we got a shot here. And then, you know, let the chips fall where they may.
Well, if I got every Packer fan and said, instead of just your one championship the last two decades, I know Rodgers has been to 5 NFC championship games. Favre definitely lost, remember, to the Tom Coughlin face, that Eli Manning team 1 year. But I don't know if that was the NFC championship game. But, like, would you take away all those years to just add one extra Super Bowl? So you just have one more Super Bowl with either Favre or Rodgers, but all those years where you were just fucking good and all year long, you're like, this is sweet, and our guy's throwing it around, and people are like, Rodgers is a beast. Would you rather just suck? You know, like the Browns or the Jags. Would you rather just be 4 or 5 win teams where by mid-October it's just over? I think the answer is no.
The answer is no.
Because it's sweet being in the mix.
And I'll tell you,
especially the answer is no when you've already won one for sure. So once you've already won one, it's like part of what I think the pushback is that makes the Niners really unique is of that 03 is basically 18 years, depending sometimes if you count it, maybe it's 19. But the Niners, really their last 10 years have been pretty good. They've been to 4 NFC championships in 10 years and 2 Super Bowls. Like how many teams in that stretch over that period of time have accomplished that? It's been a unique little run.
Yes, it has been very different. But I think the reason when
because from 03 to 10 they were complete.
I think if you're going to say, John, well, with hindsight, I'd rather have the championships than all the competitive years. That's something you say with hindsight when you're thinking about arguing about, you know, with your buddy who's a fan of another team. You're like, oh, we got 3 championships. Yeah, but you don't. No one goes, yeah, but our winning percentage over an 8-year span was 650, right? You can't win an argument like that. But if I said to think about it in the future, right, and let's try and calibrate what this hypothetical would be. In the next 10 years, your favorite team wins a Super Bowl and goes to another but misses the playoffs in 6 of the 10 years versus I don't know. Let's put it this way. Wins 2 Super Bowls but misses the playoffs in 6 years. Like kind of the – I don't know if the Giants missed the playoffs that much under Coughlin, but would you want your future to be next 10 years, 6 playoff misses, 2 championships, or let's say 1 playoff miss, 1 championship? Is that –
The 2 championships.
Now we're talking about 6 years in which your team is not a playoff team.
I don't think the Giants would trade.
No, I don't think they would either. Because that's what happened.
They wouldn't.
They would.
But it's like, they beat Belichick and Brady twice. You know, it's part of, to me, who
that's
they
true.
Beat. Their run both times. It does matter. I just know this, and I defend Rodgers and the Packers all the time. They have not been a failure because they only have 2 Super Bowls to show for it. They have 6 MVPs between Favre and Rodgers. 6. Think that spans, guy, from 1995 or 6 through 2021, he was announced the MVP. And think of all the winning years. Like, that is, you don't trade that. You think the Colts fans would trade all those sweet, badass years for, like, to be shitty that whole time, but have one extra championship? Like, no. Part of being sweet is being sweet every year. You're not going to win it every year. Like, what the Dream Team and Tiger, like, those are all-time outliers. Even Belichick, that we're never seeing anything close to that again. I actually think that they skewed it. Like, they really skewed the way people view, like, why don't we have more chips? Like, winning 1 or 2 back in the day was a big fuck. Parcells and Belichick and those Giants teams are all-time legends. They just had 2. No one's ever like, should have had 5. It's like, 2 sweet. Coughlin and Eli are held to such high standard at the 2. Like, that's a big deal. The six, like, that's what Brady's doing is like, don't even consider Tom. Tom has nothing in common with anyone else. Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, they have been all-time successes. In my 35 years of life, they're on a short list of like all-time greats any sport. But I think both guys kind of get nitpicked. Like, Seattle, we should have done more. Rodgers, we didn't quite get over. No, it's like, it's been pretty good. So there's a balance. But what they do, different from the Niners, for example, they do go to the playoffs every year.
Yeah.
Like, I think Kyle just needs to go on a run of just, can you just, what Andy's doing now in Kansas City. Now, he's raised the bar a little bit, but like, no matter what these next couple years, they're going to be in the mix in the second and third round. Then, like you said, do they drop an interception? Does Patrick Mahomes roll an ankle? Who knows? But like, you just know we got a chance every year to win a Super Bowl. And that's really all you can ask for. Because part of the cool part about what we do and talk about is like the anticipation leading up to it.
Right.
Here's what I know. Having now done this with you a while and seen some awful Raider and Niner teams, shitty sucks. Like, really
no
sucks.
No question.
I personally, bias, it's terrible for business. It's apathetic for the fans. It stinks. When you're good and you're interesting, your fan base quadruples in size.
Well, no one likes to get together.
A large percentage of the people that watch your team don't care when you lose, but they do care when you
John,
win.
John, it's way more fun on a Thursday night at your favorite bar campus to say, good outdoor area, to talk about what you're doing Saturday than talk about what you're doing next year. Right? When your team sucks, you spend a lot of time talking about next year. What are we going to do next year? It's like, nah, I'd rather just talk about what we're doing Saturday night. Let's talk about what we're doing on Saturday.
Yeah, you know,
got a concert?
You know who doesn't talk about the draft on Halloween? The Steelers, the Chiefs,
Zolak,
the Packers, Seattle, Zolak. Right?
Like, would you take the Packers?
You know who talks about the draft? You know who talks about the draft October 31st? Losers. And the people that cover losing teams. Like, that's just, it sucks. We've done it. I hate
if
it.
I said right now,
I don't totally hate it as long as it might be a quarterback, but now we know the
Niners.
You
like it more when you're drafting, you know, at the top. If I said right now, take it or leave it, the next however many years it would be, 10, 11 years, would you take the Packers 09-20 for your favorite team? Or would you roll the dice that you can be better than? Lost a wild card game, won the Super Bowl, lost the divisional, lost the wild card, lost the conference championship, lost the divisional, lost the conference championship, missed the playoff, conference championship game. So that's one Super Bowl, four conference title games.
How many division championships?
Excuse me. Four, five, six, seven divisional championships. Won the Super Bowl as a wild card team.
So in a 10-year span, would I sign up as a fan for seven division championships, five championship games, and a Super Bowl, and a quarterback that won three MVPs? Without fucking hesitation, you'd have to be on crack cocaine to say no to that.
12-year span, yeah, and two missed playoffs. Yeah, I think you would take it too. And the fact that you win one Super Bowl changes the whole thing, right? That's the one thing.
Like, if you
the Niners haven't actually won that game.
If you were a Kansas City Chief fan right now, would you thumbs up or thumbs down that right now?
So yeah,
one more Super Bowl and all
you'd
and
probably
all the
thumbs down
games.
It, but I think it's riskier than we probably act like it is. I think it'd be pretty risky to thumbs down one more title, because with Mahomes, it's like, can he win five? It's like, maybe, but the odds are no. The odds are he's not going to win two more. Do you agree with that? What's more likely,
yeah,
he wins two more or none more?
With him, it's tough.
I know.
Because he's going to be in the mix a lot. You'd say historically, you'd probably have to lean zero. If I had to put like tangible cash on it.
You'd bet two more if you're putting some money on it.
Yeah.
More fun to bet that.
Yeah.
That's the other part of it.
I'd probably make that bet depending on what the odds were.
John, let's tell the people about our friends at Gabby.com/ham. Gabby.com/ham. Right now, go get started. Gabby.com/ham. We've done it. This is where you go to check your car, your home insurance policy. Literally, it stands, GABI, for Get a Better Insurance.
Guy, they're the one true comparison platform with real rates. They give you apples to apples comparisons of your current coverage. You and I did it, and we were lucky. We had the right coverage. We were not going to save any money. But here's the thing. Gabby customers have saved $961 real dollars. This is net income. This is after taxes per year on average. Not almost $1,000 a year saving insurance. That's a big deal, guy. I can't recommend them enough. Gabby.com/ham.
The one true comparison platform, Progressive, nationwide, Travelers, all in one place. It's free to use. They never sell you information. No annoying spam or robocalls. Put your policy to the test like we did. Free to check. No obligation. Gabby.com/ham. That's Gabby.com/ham. Let's also tell the people
about
True Niagen. True Niagen. If you've ever felt drained after your favorite exercise, right? Maybe a hike, maybe a bike, maybe you do a little weight training. Maybe it's all body weights. Whatever you're doing, not anymore. True Niagen fuels the body's energy engines, maintains cellular metabolism, and even supports heart health.
Guy, I love True Niagen. I use it today for a little workout. Because here's the key. Fueling the body's energy engines, it maintains the cellular metabolism and even supports heart health. Healthy heart, healthy life. Since taking True Niagen, it helps my muscles recover. I got a little lift in today. Someone at the gym told me a couple weeks ago, one of the trainers, he just came over. He's like, I got a little piece of advice for you. He said, slow down. You let your muscles
slow down between sets or during? Are you just like going too fast?
During. I was going rapid fire. I don't truly know what I'm just trying to get a little sweat. And I felt better. And my muscles are recovering. I have more zest for life. I mean, look at me. I'm fired up for life. I took a True Niagen. Luckily, they sent us some. I can't recommend it enough. I've been using it pretty consistently now the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, they do. Here's the
so right now, new customers can save 10%. Yeah, you got the box right there. By going to TrueNiagen.com. TrueNiagen.com/ham. Use the code ham once you're there. That's TRU. Niagen, TrueNiagen.com/ham. And then once you're there, use a little promo code ham. Promo code ham. Save 10%. No big deal. Again, we're just giving out cheap stuff. Thank us later.
We appreciate your
support. By just telling your friends and using our promo codes. Yeah, we do.
Can we take a brief nose?
Quick, guy. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Legalities.
Just making a note of that.
Try to be above board here in Haberman Milk Off. We don't want... Follow the rules.
Just making a note. Before we move on, John, I'm going to mute my microphone and blow my nose.
Haberman's got a little bit of the sniffles. And when you got the sniffles, sometimes you have to, blow your nose.
Now, what's the key to a good nose blow? You check it afterwards.
Ew, that is fucking disgusting. I never...
Well, you got to know, it's how you, like, kind of... What? You don't check?
I have never, ever... No, I'd throw it away.
You got to know what you're working with. Like, is it clear? Is it yellow? Is there blood? Am I making progress? Am I getting this stuff out?
You bleed out of your nose?
My nose is really dry, so sometimes if I'm blowing my nose for 4 days, 5 days, like I've been doing, you get a little redness.
Yes, got it. I understand. Yeah, if your nose gets dry, I never check.
I check. I just want to. I feel a sense of accomplishment.
Sometimes I'm big on if I'm outside, I'll do a
Oaky blow,
snout rocket. Yeah, good Oaky blow. Yeah, love a good Oaky blow.
Let me just. I was going to edit this out of the podcast, but I think we've people can weigh in. Do you check or do you not check the tissue? That's the real question. That's the question of the day. Rob on YouTube. Ugh. How do you not check?
I have never, ever checked a tissue. I mean, I'm it's blown out gross stuff. I just, that is disgusting.
To me, when you're blowing your nose for 5 days, you need a progress report.
Yeah, I just,
Felt good to get that out, though, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, sometimes you gotta let it blow,
All right.
Honestly, though, in fair, I don't get that stuffy. I've never been I don't really get allergies. I don't. I guess every once in a while I get sick, but yeah, I just don't get that nasally.
We got to check. We got to definitely don't check. We got to check or you're a psycho. We got to always check. It's natural to look.
You guys are nuts. You guys are crazy.
Not only check, get someone to verify, says James.
Oh my, we have some nut jobs.
I think you're the nut job. Paul says,
I think you guys
are
wackos. Ugh. But like I said, I'm not a consistent. I do think like you get allergies.
No.
Is there periods of the year where you're blowing your nose?
No, I don't get allergies.
I've also always believed, old school people used to do this. You know, my dad was a farmer, so I was around a lot of farmers. They're big on like keeping the handkerchief in their pocket. Yeah. You know, my grandpa used to do this, Woody, R.I.P. Woody. That,
great
to
grandpa
me
name.
Is, it is a great grandpa name. It's one of the most disgusting things in the history of disgusting things. Now, if you just have a little, you know, whatever, but if it's your level and you are blowing that level stuff and putting it back into your pocket, Woodrow Middlecoff did it consistently, and it would just go back in his pocket like you would a pen or something. You're like, this is insane.
I'm with you. Someone once offered me their handkerchief, and I've never forgotten the absolute disgust. Like, no, I'm good. I'll use my shirt. Thank you. Saul Haberman, a.k.a. Bama, S-O-L, changed his name from S-A-U-L to S-O-L for an unknown reason in, like, 1951. but he went by Bama in the Haberman house. Always tissues in every pocket. Always tissues, but never. Yeah.
I do think the older generation, it was, you'd put your socks on, your pants on, your shirt on, you'd grab that little handkerchief, and you'd start rocking and rolling some tissues. I mean, you couldn't pay me. What would be like, John, what would I have to pay you every day to carry that thing around? Minimum would start at like $1,000 a day to even have that. Do you think
that generation didn't pick its nose? Too much dirt under their fingernails?
If one day when I'm hopefully head upstairs and I can just, I have some, I'm going to write down some questions I got for Woody. Just, there's things in that generation that maybe they worked, maybe they didn't. I don't know. Did some different things.
Golly. I don't remember ever seeing my grandpa pick his nose.
Maybe it just morphed into like cowboys and Indians, right? They used to wear those things, so they just had them on them.
Well, I just think tissues didn't exist, right? You used a handkerchief because you could wash it and use it again tomorrow.
Do you know, I heard someone say a while back, one thing that changed geographically in America that led people like moving to the South, and definitely I think, you know, the desert out here, Vegas and Arizona, really benefit from this. It's been a while, but like, AC didn't exist till like the mid-50s, like consistently in homes. Imagine in like the 30s. Like, it's not like we just started getting hot in the world, right, 40, 50 years ago. Can you imagine in like Florida or Arizona or Texas in like 1939 with no fucking air conditioning? I mean, I think about it
every time I watch a
breakdown.
Movie.
It's insane.
You had a mental breakdown when?
A couple years ago, last year when this thing went out, and it was 90 degrees. That was 24 hours. 24 hours. I thought I was ready to jump.
I think I told you I watched.
That's how they lived.
Django. Before we get back to some sport, I watched Django the other day, and there's a scene where like eight guys are hanging out in a just a little hut, and one guy is just sitting in a tub washing himself, you know, his bath for the week. And for as immersive as we want the entertainment experience to be, 360 and make it feel like you were there, the fact that we don't have odor connected to old movies is a blessing that, you know, I hope never leaves us. The stench of, like, I don't know, every year of existence pre-19 whatever year the air conditioner and running water, probably just running water, forget about the AC, just when people started taking showers on a weekly or daily semi-daily basis, the world changed.
Well, guy, when we
I can't imagine what it would smell like if we went time machine to an old saloon in the West right now.
We were in there when we were driving to one of the golf courses over Memorial Day weekend, kind of had a long drive out through the desert to Weeko Pow. And Hawkins looks and he goes, you know, this would have been a tough place for the Cowboys and Indians to just call home. because it's just desert. It's hot as shit. There is no fucking grass, and there is no water. And I think that, obviously, all of Nevada to Arizona, over to New Mexico, like, that is just tough country. There is no water. With cowboys and Indians, some of them live in some of these areas, right? Like, you just... It's way easier to live. Like, how did you handle the prairie? You know, Malibu wasn't too bad. You know, another guy's like, you ever been to New Mexico, son? Like, holy shit. I think our country out here, that New Mexico, Arizona, now, the way Arizona has been, they've honestly, it kind of has some similarities, in my opinion, to like Sac meets kind of like a big city because it's got so much room and space, but like they've really just put so much cash into it, and there's so much business and just explosion of kind of what the Sac we grew up on. If you just drive through Sac now, it's just so big and it's so industrialized. But it was just, I just remember it being really hot. And I think the Valley kind of has this vibe relative to like San Francisco and LA. And even like when I went to Cal Poly, it's just a lot different on this side than it is on the Valley side. It's a little tougher. I think the tougher country relative to our Valley, relative to like Nevada, Arizona, New Mexico. I haven't spent that much time in Texas, but I think that kind of area too is dramatically tougher.
Not to mention, to get here, you had to go through the Rocky Mountains, right? And it's cold as, depending on what time of year, even if you did it during the summer, which you would do, it was still freezing cold at night. Right?
Yeah, that's why they ate each other. Remember that crew?
What was the movie?
Donner Party.
No, but what was the movie where Leo like sleeps inside of a dead horse?
Oh, the Reverend.
Yeah. All right.
A bear.
A dead bear? I thought he slept inside of a dead horse. What did he do with his horse?
Oh, yeah. He also slept inside the dead. Remember the horse? They went off the hill when they were being chased by the Indians. And then he went after, is it Tom Hardy? Is that the guy's name?
Tom Hardy. I think so, yes.
Yeah. And then Leo hunted him down.
Really?
Actually.
Better movie.
Pretty watchable movie.
Yeah. I remember when I got into it, I'm like, I heard it's long and it's kind of slow, but I really liked it. I mean, Leo,
Not bad.
Yeah,
not bad. He's had a good
one. Okay, John, next up. Who are we betting against? The other day we did the NFC West odds, and the Cardinals have the longest odds, and we had some reaction from people on the YouTube video that thought that the Cardinals were good value. We've had a few NFL arrests in the last couple days. I mean, it's hard to top NFL arrest, Uzi in a Lambo, Frank Clark. Two words that are fun to say. Not a great combo. When you hear the whoop, Uzi in a Lambo. Zaven Collins of the Cardinals, John, their first round pick, 76-35. I mean this without, I'm not kidding. Lucky that no one got hurt, right? He was just doing 76-35, which is nuts, but could have been a lot worse. Anytime I see that and that's all that happened, you go, thank God there wasn't some kid in a crosswalk.
I do think it depends on the road setup. I think there are road setups where I'm sure that'd be outrageous. And there are probably other ones that it's not as crazy. But he did get arrested. Like, if me or you did 75 in a 36, are we automatically getting arrested? I didn't know that reckless driving was an immediate arrest. So I just have the situation red flag when I see the guy got arrested. Because I just, at 21, I would consider myself a borderline speeder now. Not on that level, but I do think the road, you know, setup, I would judge differently if I saw it. I did get on the ground floor.
I think that's fair. You would say having your first round pick arrested, not ideal. Some things tend to happen starting in June, July. Are the Cardinals in a position to, are we in a position to sell on the Cardinals? Not because of Zaven Collins necessarily, but it does feel like last year people got pretty bullish on them. And I think you in particular early, I still think when you have a really good quarterback, you got a shot. But the problem is then he started getting hurt. And Cliff, I don't think, is Sean McVay or Kyle Shanahan here. And how many coaches now has Steve Keim had? Is this his third coach that he's on?
His third,
which is, you know, not typical, I don't think, for a GM in terms of sustainability.
Yeah, I think he's in a little trouble. I've thought all along this kind of group, him and Cliff, are on the hot seat. And Steve Keim has really been, you'd say, more of a disaster over his tenure in the sense of things that have gone wrong than obviously Cliff. He's in charge of the draft. He drafted a player who I was told, this guy's good. Like, this guy was a top 20 prospect. You know, I'd heard the Raiders were going to take him. One of the reasons they took Leatherwood is they had planned on him and they couldn't trade back. They wanted this guy. This guy was a red flag guy. This guy was off. I talked to a team. He wasn't even on their board. And Keim has a history. And I'm not anti-drafted red flag guy, so I'd be a hypocrite to act like I wouldn't do that either if I was in their shoes. I learned from two coaches who were pro red flag guys. And I think you have to be, as coaches, you know, what Kyle
Frank Clark plays for
the
Chiefs.
He's on the opposite end. Yeah, I mean, so it's like Andy is as liberal as it gets when it comes to those type players. So I'm not – Xavier Collins wouldn't have been off my board. But Steve Keim got a DUI. Robert Ndike, remember that guy from Ole Miss that they had drafted? Remember he got pulled over with a bunch of cocaine and an Arizona light? Then you have a one-and-done coach. Like, this guy is, to me, his – if they don't make the playoffs, I would envision all these guys getting fired. All of them. And I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. Like, I think this – think how much money they spent this offseason on – they had a top 16 pick. They just got this guy. They buy J.J. Watt. They spend a decent amount.
AJ Green.
They spend $6 million on A.J. Green. And clearly there's just pressure anytime you have the number one overall pick. Yeah. Remember, they gave him a ton of money. They basically guaranteed him. He became the highest paid wide receiver, remember? It was like equivalent of a two-year contract, but they gave him like $40 million. Boom. And to me, though, the kicker, not the actual kicker, but the kicker in the situation is when you draft a quarterback number one overall, I would say if you say within 3 years should he be in the playoffs, if he's like a hit, you'd be like 100%. Especially when they do have talent around the guy. Like Buda Baker, good player. Chandler Jones, good player. You draft Isaiah Simmons in the first round. You draft this linebacker in the first round. You obviously have a ton of guys on offense. They don't make the playoffs this year, I think everyone's getting fired. And I think you have a new administration there. I think it would be fascinating. Who knows how they'd go? I don't know. Because they've had this same general manager who, again, like I actually think Steve Keim has drafted a lot of good players. He just has had some guys get in trouble. And two, he struggled with his coach. He hit a home run on Bruce Arians. I don't know if, however it worked, package deal, Keim hired him, owner hired him. However, they were together and they dominated. But since then, like Steve Wilks and Cliff Kingsbury, if you and I co-owned an NFL team, neither of us would allow either one of those guys to be our head coach.
What is the primary transgression, I think, for Keim? And we'll see how this year plays out, but that he had a one-and-done coach, right? The last two one-and-done coaches were Tom Sula and Chip Kelly, and obviously the owner doesn't fire himself, but the administration that did that is gone.
Freddie
Kitchens, thank you.
John Dorsey got fired for that.
So I think that's probably number one. But even above that, you'd say it's a really hard division, and that is, I think, probably something that has saved them. What?
Bulky had two one-and-done coaches in back-to-back years. 2 1-and-dones. How do you have 2 1-and-done coaches?
2 1-and-dones. One of them being an internal promotion probably helps, I guess. But, you know, they haven't made the playoffs since 2015, which was his third year as the GM. They made the playoffs two out of
honestly, pretty pretty nuts, honestly, looking back, that Bulky survived Tom Sula, because the John Dorsey, Freddie Kitchens internal promotions sometimes are worse. Now, I wonder if the deep details were, and I think this has been reported on, that it wasn't.
Yeah, see, that's what I think saves you a little bit, right, is it's a group rally around Jimmy T.
Well, who was the other guy? Oh, it turned out to be Adam Gase.
And Adam Gase.
But it was between Adam Gase and Tom Sula.
But, I mean, we're talking about 7 wins, 8 wins, 3 wins, 5 wins, 8 wins.
You're saying since Arians?
I'm saying since they last made the playoffs. This is Steve Keim's tenure. Yeah. And
I think Arians last year was 8-8, and then they've had the shitty year, the Josh Rosen year with Wilkes, and then they've had the 2 years with Cliff. What was their record last year? 7-9?
Amazingly.
And remember, they stumbled down the stretch.
So
it felt at one point in time, it felt like, God, my prediction is going to be wrong. They're going to go 10-6, right? Because mid-season, it looked like they were I mean, not quite a shoe-in, but as close you could be to shoe-in without being a shoe-in to make the playoffs. It's pretty crazy they missed the playoffs.
Yeah, it is, but then you kind of, when you watch...
They fell apart
when you
the
watch their whole season, they had some high highs, but I do think just, I like using the phrase button down, like at times, there it was really hard to kind of put them in a box because they could look fantastic against good teams, right? But can they do a full season of it? You know, now look, the Xavier Collins thing, it's not like the season will roll around. That thing will be old news by next week, and it's not going to matter in all likelihood when the season starts, right? Is he going to get suspended a game or two for that?
I do believe, though, Guy, any GM in the league, if your first round pick is arrested before we get to fucking 4th of July... That's embarrassing. Like, and this is someone who doesn't think some of this stuff can be overrated and like, what does it even mean? I just mean from a simple looking at your owner, what you're trying to accomplish. Like, I just think it's a terrible look.
Well, I know this. Right? Like,
it just is.
When his phone rings and he's got to tell the owner about it, it's just a bad situation. Now, again, they're lucky this thing wasn't worse. I think the Xavier Collins arrest, I think for me, the point of it is not that arrest is going to somehow affect their season. It's more so it brings up the discussion about the fact that these guys, based on their resumes, should be on the hot seat. But I think you could. But here's the counter. If I would counter, I'd go, wait a second. Cliff Kingsbury has been there for 2 years. He went from 5-10 to 8-8, and his quarterback looks pretty good. Why should he be on the hot seat?
Well, that's what I'm saying. They make the playoffs. He's good. They miss the playoffs. I think they're done.
Yeah, I mean, that's a 3-year run. I think part of it is how do they look? Do they go 9-8, but Kyler plays a whole year and they look? I mean, it's going to be hard, right, if Kyler plays a whole year. I think Keim feels like he's got more rope than anybody, even though in some ways he should be more on the hot seat than Cliff.
Well, where does he always sit when you watch a Cardinal game?
Right by the owner.
There is something. I'll give Michael Lombardi credit on this one. He's the first guy. I think most people subconsciously think about it, but you don't think that much of it. They just show the GM. It is a big, big advantage for GMs to be able to do that while the coach is down
there.
What
is this guy doing?
What are they talking about?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. What the fuck? What was that?
I got him the players. All I can do is give him the ingredients.
Yeah. I mean, he's the one cooking this terrible dinner. And I think they'd look at you and be like, well, yeah, they gave me... moldy bread, meat that was bad, and salad that had E. coli. Is E. coli ever run in salad?
In your lettuce?
Chicken.
I think E. coli is in the chicken. I think you get in the... What did the lettuce get last year?
Mad cow lettuce?
No, wasn't mad cow. All the romaine.
Oh, yeah, it was that lettuce. Yeah, the romaine.
What did the romaine get? Yeah, it was
That's
E. coli.
The thing, When you follow the Al Michaels diet and you just
don't eat greens?
Really mess with the greens, you're good. Isn't that an Al Michaels thing?
Al Michaels claims he's never eaten a vegetable in his life, which I find impossible to believe. You never had a lasagna that had a
still going strong?
Bell pepper in it?
I don't believe that at all.
Josh says McCorkle's DUI never mentioned. We just mentioned the two arrests that happened this week. That's all.
Yeah, McCorkle got a DUI. It was literally anyone saying that is completely clueless. He plays in the SEC at Alabama. It was an enormous story, I'm sure, in Alabama and on Paul Feinberg.
We talked about it before the draft.
What are you supposed to say? You got to, but I did see that being a consistent theme leading up to the draft. Like, yeah, just because you don't follow the SEC, the SEC is basically as big as the NFL, and it's.
I'm not judging Xavier Collins any more than I'm judging Mac Jones for it. It's not about that guy.
Yeah, one guy was a red flag, and he got a DUI 2 days ago. The other guy has not gotten in trouble yet. So it's like, I think sometimes we hold on to the past. I just in general in life, people love holding on to like sports fans. Like, we've won this many championships.
Oh, for sure.
You're counting shit from like the 70s and 80s. You're 25 years old. Who gives a fuck? Right? I mean, losers love holding on to the past, even just with anything. If a guy was a bad guy, like Tyrann Mathieu, like he was kicked out of college. Yeah, and then he became one of the highest character guys in the league, team captain for 3 different teams. I'm a big believer in looking forward. Like, are you a shithead then and you're still a shithead? Then I got your red flag. Are you a shithead then and then you kind of change your life around? Are you immature or whatever? Like, to me, there's a balance of humans or just anything. People love, I just think it's a loser mentality to, like, think about the past. right? Like, we won, like, if I was a Dodger fan, like, we won the World Series in 88. Yeah, I was four. I do not care.
Yeah, I don't care either, but I don't think that's loser mentality. I think it's just you build arguments based on things that have happened, not things that haven't happened yet, you know?
Yeah, but I just think
in general, the court system's based on historical.
I think we do it with fans. Yeah, but again, like, precedent, okay. But have you changed? Like,
oh,
like
I know.
Part
I
of like getting out of prison is rehabbing or getting better. Sure. Like, we used to lose, now we win. I used to be a bad guy, now I don't get in trouble. I used to be a good guy, now I get in trouble. I don't know. There's just a million different scenarios.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to, like, I don't even care about McCorkle, but my point is, like, this guy was a red flag, and then he got in trouble. Like, that happened. Like, Ray McDonald is a good example. Like, the Niners have been full of them. they had a lot of guys that were like, red flags, kept getting in trouble. It's like, we got a problem here.
Chris Culliver?
But I do think, I just think there are a lot of
Who's
people,
the fullback?
Though, that are, yeah, Bruce.
Bruce Miller.
I think he's on the Jags. Yeah. I think there are Sounds a lot right. of just people in general that, I don't know, improve, like, get better. Right? To just mature.
Well, like, here's one. Les says Tyrann Mathieu was never a bad guy. He just liked smoking synthetic weed. Well, I love Tyrann Mathieu.
But my point is, he got kicked out of college. I think there was more to it than just drugs.
Yeah, but my point is, look, the bottom line is just he's an example of a guy who was in trouble and is not only is he not in trouble, I think he's viewed as
stalwart.
Yeah, like, you'd love to have him on. I'd love to have him on my team. I know that.
Yeah, me too.
Unhappy camper says, we hate Jimmy. Trey is God. Yeah, that's a good synopsis. Okay. A couple other things we wanted to hit today, John. Oh, my God. Speaking of this, I'm going to put these pictures up on the video on YouTube. You can either go back and look at them there. We put them on the Haberman and Middlecoff Facebook page. You can just go to Lincoln Riley's. You can just go to Lincoln Riley's Twitter page. He retweeted a bunch of these. Oklahoma had like a recruiting day over the weekend, and they brought out the most expensive cars you can find. I'm not even a good enough car person to know what all these are. I know a Bentley when I see it. I think that's a Rolls Royce. I think we got a Ferrari there or a Lambo.
Yep. I think that's the Ferrari sign, isn't it?
I think you're right.
I think.
And another... That's a Rolls.
I think it's a Bentley sign.
Oh, I thought that was a Rolls.
Is that a Rolls?
Look at this.
I think the
Not yeah. only that, here's the other part. These guys are wearing...
that. I think that's a Lambo next to it, the black one. Jeez.
These guys are all wearing like bedazzled yeah. Jordans. It's hard to tell, but they're...
These are not players at Oklahoma.
These are high school recruits. Look at the on the YouTube. You can see bedazzled Jordans is what they're wearing. I've never of all the crazy recruiting, the incredible. I don't know who concocted this idea. Maybe it was Drew Hill. Maybe it was Lincoln Riley. Incredible idea. And I bet every person
honestly,
who recruits saw that and went like, "What are they doing?"
How often do you see pictures non-photoshopped of a high school kid in the uniform of the program? I didn't know that was illegal. I mean, clearly it is because they're doing it.
Oh, that's yeah, that pretty, happens
like,
a lot now.
Hey, guys, you wanted...
It happens. Does. Not only do they put the guy in the uniform, which I was actually thinking about this the other day. It's funny you mentioned that because I'm like, that other guy just put those pants on. Now I'm putting these pants on for my photo shoot. If your parents are there, they'll give your little brother a uniform. They'll give your sister a uniform. They'll give your mom and dad like zip-ups. You can take a family photo. Yeah.
Well, you and I talked a little off
I think if I'm like number two and I'm like, I led the team in catches last year and now some high school kids wearing my number in front of a Bentley, I'd be like, what are we doing? Trying to get better.
You know, we were bullshitting about this before we came on, and the funniest part about just the college arguments, and I do think a lot of them tend to be a little disingenuous sometimes, led by the media, but the one thing that like they love, a lot of people love telling kids how they should think. The history of most of these kids, whether it be movies or reality, of the people asking for money is not the 17 or 18-year-old kid. It's the dad. And the dad, I think, when he gets the 200 grand, he doesn't then give the kid 45. I would imagine in most of those transactions, the parent keeps the fucking cash. Do you know what the kid wants in 2021 more than ever? They want to post those photos on their Snapchat and their Instagram and their TikTok. Like, that's what the kid wants.
Photo.
That is. I bet if we, whoever that kid is, I could text Drew right now, who's 53, and we went to his Instagram. What are the chances?
I got all these photos from these guys' Twitter pages. They and then Lincoln would repost it. So that's where it came from. Like, they take the photos, they give the guy the photo, right?
So basically, you are creating content for their page, right?
Exactly.
You are helping them create content. For
that content that no one else has in front of these cars.
But think about this. If you and I followed everyone that covers college sports and that is really inundated with the conversation about money and stuff, I don't think any of them are talking about the true love of these kids wanting to post the cool shit. That is the most fucking important thing. Literally, one of the best coaches in the country. Saban does the same things. Kirby's doing the same things. Mario's doing the same things. All the Ohio State's doing the same shit. They know what these kids want. Not the cash. That's what the parent wants. Right? They want the
pictures. I would love to have been in the...
And I'm not saying Lincoln's
getting
cash.
No, I know you're not. I would love to have been in the meeting when they were like, all right, guys, ideas for the recruiting weekend. It's like, hear me out. What if we got a Bentley, a Lambo, a Rolls? We roll them onto the field.
Well, you remember who was the quarterback? It might have been when we were in college. When Stoops was the coach, one of the quarterbacks at Oklahoma had a summer job at like the big dealership. Do you remember that? But never showed up and they paid him and they got in trouble for it. It wasn't that crazy. It wasn't like he got a free car, but it wasn't Landry Jones. I feel like it was like maybe after Sam Bradford, maybe before, but they had an incident once with a car dealer. And it was one of those, I remember Pat Hill, you just give your kids jobs.
Rhett Bomar.
I think one way that, the big, big school, like our kids, like Robbie Rouse was like digging ditches, like to get $10 an hour or whatever. I think some of these programs, historically, which is great, I mean, we would all do it at 20 years old. Like, you give me a job, I don't actually have to show up and you pay me. That's a great job.
Great job. Draft lottery is Tuesday night. By the time you're listening to this, you might already know what happened. I think the NBA draft lottery is one of the easiest things to consume sports has ever created. Like, you think about how many people just play a lottery. It is so easy to follow. It's just people sitting around nervous. Is my little ball going to pop up or not? The NFL doesn't do a lottery. Baseball, no one knows. They just organize by record. I mean, people know. But the lottery, man. The lottery. It's one of the most... I don't know if it was David Stern that invented the lottery or Rick Welch that invented the lottery, but whoever invented the NBA lottery. Like, we're going to sit there and we're just going to pop up ping pong balls. Absolute genius.
Well, in baseball, right, it doesn't really matter because drafting is really...
Unless you get Jack Leiter.
Like he...
I saw our guy, the anonymous MLB executive, was like, Jack Leiter's going to help the Red Sox rotation in September.
I liked his comp.
It was Mike Mussina with better stuff. It was a great comp.
If that's who Jack Leiter is, holy shit, he might be. The Red Sox have the number one overall pick.
I don't know. Well, I don't think they do, but I don't. Is Jack Leiter going number one? I'm not sure that he is. MLB draft order.
Well, after yesterday, he might. The problem, like the NFL, the lottery would be sweet, but you don't have to do the lottery.
The Pirates have the number one pick.
What are the Red Sox?
Four.
If you didn't have the lottery in the NBA, I think tanking would be way bigger, right?
Oh.
If the NFL-style draft was the NBA, they would have a disaster on their hands. Like, you think tanking was bad when there was a lottery when the chances were 25 and now they're cut to 17? Fuck. Because in the NFL, you legitimately can place yourself, yeah, right? Trying to lose. And the lottery, part of the cool part is, and I even like the way that they kind of went anti-tanking and changed the percentages. Like, as we're recording this, the Warriors could have pick 1 and 4, or they could just have pick 14.
It's crazy.
I'll never forget. The best lottery was 2 years ago when the Knicks thought they were going to get Zion, and the Knicks getting the 3rd overall pick. That was...
Part of the fun of... Like, I was thinking about, would it be cool...
A key to the lottery is the players in the lottery.
Yes, but it's also just...
And the teams.
Like,
and
I think
teams.
You can enjoy an NBA lottery if you don't know Cade Cunningham from Bubba Cunningham. I mean, I think that guy used to be the AD at Oklahoma.
Yeah, but I mean when you have like a historic, like a Zion, a Shaq,
for sure,
a LeBron,
that, when you've
like
got one guy or two guys, that definitely helps, for sure. But I also think it's just such an easy thing for anybody to understand. It's just a lottery. It's going to be like 20 minutes, and not only are we going to see people get excited, but we're going to see people get disappointed.
I think there's one team, it's the Rockets. If they don't finish top 4, they lose their picks.
Like
I think there are several teams. Which is 50-50. The Rockets are 50-50 top four or not, and if it's not, they lose the pick.
Well, what are the T-Wolves? Like 50-50 top four or lose the pick? I mean, there's a lot
top
on the line
three, and that's 28% chance. So 73% chance the Warriors get the pick. They keep it only if it's a top three. So ideally for the Warriors, it's the fourth pick. Yeah.
God damn. I mean, this is just...
The Bulls only keep theirs if it's top four, which is a 20% chance. John, the Rockets has to be top four. If it's five, they fall to 18. A pick swap with the Thunder.
I mean, that sucks. God.
So if you're
damn.
The Thunder tonight, you're like, here we go, baby. Pretty cool. I love a good lot.
I actually watched a lot of these players, I feel like, more than most drafts. I've kept an eye on Jalen Green, Fresno guy. Watched a lot of Suggs. Watched a lot of Suggs. Once the tournament started, the dude from USC. Cade Cunningham, he won me a couple hundred dollars when they beat Baylor, who actually ended up winning the championship.
Isaiah Mobley. Evan Mobley from SC.
It'd be pretty sweet if the Warriors got... What if they get four and Evan Mobley sitting there? Would you take them both and just go Twin Towers?
It's a great question. I mean...
Because I'll tell you this. Would you rather have Evan Mobley or James Wiseman?
Well, Evan was definitely a better player than James. I mean, James didn't... Who knows? James didn't play in college.
But I think if you just, like, canvas the NBA landscape, what if Evan Mobley thinks
is he's got great feel. He doesn't force... He's not a guy that is going to try and force it. Really good passer. Good vision, really good teammate.
Now, you're right. It's unfair because he's been injured and we have a little NBA, you know, viewing of Wiseman. I do feel like if you gave 30 GMs the opportunity right now, you get Mobley or Wiseman on your team.
I think they would take
Mobley. Would probably be 25-5, yeah. Maybe.
I don't know if it'd be. I mean, I bet there are people that still like Wiseman a lot. But I think Mobley just, people think he just has a great feel. Great feel, really good passer.
I actually just, the couple USC games, I liked his brother, who I think is like
Isaiah,
a fringe first rounder, right?
Yeah, not as athletic, not quite as tall. I don't think he's as good of a shooter, but again, same deal. Like, just good family.
Jay Crowder?
Just smart guys, really high level guys, just impressive guys, yeah. Eric Mobley, their dad.
I saw a little Jay Crowder. What do you think about that comp? A little
bigger,
but.
I mean, Jay shoots the three. Well, I don't know if Isaiah Mobley or Evan Mobley.
I'm talking the Isaiah. Brother, who not the elite yeah. guy. Yeah. He was shooting
threes
in the tournament.
He'll take some. I don't know if he's ever going to be Jay Crowder. I don't think he's athletically Jake. I think Jay Crowder's more athletic.
What about the white dude from Gonzaga?
Adam Morrison? Kevin Herter?
No.
Corey Kispert?
The dude this year is going to be a polarizer.
Well, there were people that thought he lost money in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah. The key is, when you're going to suck, is to already have the contract signed, like our boy Benjamin Simmons, who is just, I have seen some absolutely hilarious things on social media. Every single person in the NBA, and it's funny, because the NBA, I think the last couple years, they've tried to be very, very pro-player and be very conscientious about being friendly to everyone. I think they're kind of getting used by a lot of the players' agents, and it's worked. I think they've kind of gone old school with Ben Simmons, and part of it is like it's an easy thing to kick when the guy's down, but he is getting absolutely shit on everywhere you look. I mean, I'm not just talking like the Stephen A, like the people that would. I'm saying just normal people are making
it's a huge NBA storyline. It really is an illustration of how massive the Sixers are. You were making this point to me beforehand. Like right now, I think the Sixers are one of the biggest brands in the league just because they're so interesting. The whole process became a long-running joke. And then Embiid and Simmons. But Embiid in particular has just been a fantastic personality for the league. Everyone knows who he is.
Guy, they added Doc Rivers and Daryl Morey last offseason. He had 5 points in Game 7.
And he had
I didn't realize
that
was
just mind-boggling too, right?
Yeah, it's non-dunk. I just think that in that town, when people think you're... most of my friends that are big Sixer fans thinks he doesn't care. And maybe it's just the way he conducts himself. Maybe it's not a lack of urgency. But he has this feel like of indifference when you watch him play.
And also you don't feel really like he's gotten a lot. You're like, wait, shouldn't he be a lot better? I mean, he has an incredible skill. He should be a complete player, you would think. Like, why can't he shoot?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think people think he doesn't care, and so he doesn't work at it.
Philly's not a good town to have that. Your life can get hard.
Yeah. Tough town, guy. Tough town.
Keep an eye on Wander Franco tonight, John, making his big number one prospect in baseball for the Rays, making his debut. So,
the Rays have the number one prospect in baseball?
Actually, they usually develop him into the number one prospect once they get him. I do think, you and I have talked about this a lot, I don't want to spend too much time on it. I think baseball has done a better job in the last few years of just like, do it. Now look, if you don't go to MLB.com, then you're not going to see that the top five bullets are all Wander Franco's making his debut. Take a look at some of Wander Franco's greatest plays. Who does Wander Franco comp like? Like, you still have to get to people who aren't hardcore baseball fans somehow. I do think they've done a good job. I think it's helped that college baseball players are bat flipping all over the place. I think like the pitching ninja and just like that kind of stuff. Baseball does feel, from just a getting their young guys out there standpoint, and maybe it's just the young guys like Tatis are just cool, and Guerrero, it does feel like it's kind of loosened up a little bit with some of these guys and just trying to make people aware of who they got. I feel like they're a little better with that. Do you?
What's the pitching ninja?
Pitching ninja is the guy on Twitter who's become pretty big over the last year or two because it's nonstop just the nastiest pitches. Like, it's basically, he's basically the Rex Chapman of nasty pitches. But he's not just like putting up videos. Like, he's kind of a pitching, I don't want to use the word guru, but he actually like knows a lot about the analytics of pitching and spin rates and all that stuff. So he actually has like a business on the side. I think he had that first. But like pitchers engage with him and retweet, and hitters. And I'm sure that's where Josh Donaldson got a lot of his videos of pitchers using spider tack. Was this ball shouldn't move like this? I don't know.
What's Rex Chapman's lane on Twitter?
Blocker charge. Just got hit by a truck. Blocker charge, you know?
Gotcha. That's why when people say, I don't follow him, he's made a career out of stupid videos just, on the internet. Like,
it's the fantastic.
Snoop Dogg does
fantastic videos. Blocker charge. You know, this guy got hit by a blocker propeller charge. Plane. Blocker charge.
Gotcha. That's pretty good. I think baseball is just, they do have a lot of young players, right, that are just exciting. Part of it is just you need excitement. Like, part of, right, like, Zion's really exciting, but it's like no one watches the Pelicans. Can you get exciting on good teams? That's, you know, one thing I think Ohtani, who just had the most historic week of all time. I mean, he won a game as a starter and hit 6 home runs. I say it all the time. I do think if he was on the Yankees, Red Sox, or the Dodgers, he would be infinitely bigger. And he's pretty big, like, in our sports world. But I think he would be, if he was doing what he's doing now in 1993, like when we were kids growing up, like on sports, I think it'd be the number one sports story in America. Now, times have changed, and I've just said I don't like living in the past, but my point is, like, what he's doing right now is if the equivalent of whatever he did, and we talked about this on the last podcast, was happening, I think he's almost, but part of it's just his team. And luckily, I think they play the Giants the next 2 days. I can't fucking wait to watch
him against Kevin Gausman, who might be, I mean, DeGrom's back, so he'll probably start the All-Star game for the National League, but Gausman's been really good.
So. Yeah. Depending on who drafts lighter, maybe just start lighter.
It's not a bad idea.
Okay, through 15 Ks. I'm a sucker for like looking up and seeing like, oh, it's a good Carl's World Series game. Like when they get 8-0, 10-0, whatever. But if I see it's like 2-1 in the seventh, and I see the guys in the dugout doing rally signs and like the parents biting their nails, I'm like, it is awesome. It holds a special place in our heart. You're more than me. I mean, I showed up in Fresno right when they're winning it.
I spent 2 weeks there.
That was a big deal for an
incredible
Fresno.
2 weeks.
Remember they had a parade.
The parade
on the fire trucks.
Were you at the parade?
I was at the ending. Like all the football coaches came out. Yeah. They came to the field. It was just they beat Georgia, who was like the equivalent of like Alabama football. Yeah, I mean it was
Buster Posey was at the College World
Series. They beat Arizona State. Wasn't Arizona State the number one
team
in the
country? And they lost the first game, and then they came back and beat them. They had Ike Davis and Brett Wallace.
Didn't they stage a fight on the
third game? Ike
Davis
and Brett Wallace faked a fight. I think it was Ike Davis and Brett Wallace faked a fight while Fresno State was taking infield. They were standing like in the first base coach's box and pretended to have a fight. Pat Murphy was the coach. Pat Murphy briefly became the manager of the Padres. And kind of a football mentality. Some people say it was his idea. But they staged a fight to try and distract Fresno State, to make them think like, oh, these guys are, I don't even know what the logic is. But it didn't work. But I've never
Did Pat Murphy
like
never
that.
Make it to the regular season?
Like, was did Pat Murphy, did he coach in
the
Yeah,
something happened. I don't remember exactly what the deal was. His career is, I don't, what did he do? I think he made it to the regular season, but didn't last. It was
weird. I have to look that up.
Something happened.
I don't
right.
remember that, but I kind of do.
Yeah, something happened. But for everyone that says, like, baseball needs the ball in play more, it's like, honestly, I think 1-1 games, pitchers throwing 98 and breaking off sliders, that is, to me, just as good as 8-5 with the ball in play and it takes four hours. Jack Leiters and Jake DeGrom's, like, that's an easy storyline for people to follow, right? Pedro Martinez and Randy. No one was like, Pedro, ball's not in play a lot. Like, dominant. I would say this. I think dominant pitching, like an individual who is a dominant pitcher, is the best thing in baseball, I think.
Well, I mean,
because a hitter who hits a bunch of home runs only bats three or four times a game.
But I would say they're every bit, like, the most famous thing in baseball is a home run when you say just the sport. What's the most, what's the most famous thing in baseball? Someone would say a home run. I do think in our lifetime, the star elite pitchers have been every bit as big and famous and important as any Barry Bonds, Manny Ramirez, like Randy Johnson, Pedro Martinez, even like the recent guys, but some of the famous people, Kerry Wood, just anytime a pitcher comes up, it's almost bigger than
because
a hitter,
when you're Nolan Ryan, like, you know what it is? You have when you are that dominant at that, you are preventing somebody. You have this like the kind of enforcer, middle linebacker, Ed Reed, strong safety, pass rusher. Like that's the kind of rep you get is like somebody who shuts everybody down, and that's a great rep to promote. That's that enforcer thing. You know, I'm here to kind of take your, you can't stop me and I'm going to take it from you. Baseball's best, you know, you're still striking out and grounding out and just getting out.
Well, I remember in Ken Griffey Jr. baseball, Mussina was on the Orioles and so was Cal Ripken. They were actually a fun team to play. They were pretty good. And you throw the knuckle curve. And I remember a Little League starting for the White Sox, Sam Wilson's the coach. I threw the knuckle curve. Though it didn't curve or knuckle, but I gripped it with one finger on it and then the other on the side, and then I tried to push, roll the wrist, but it didn't, it just kind of went. I love the knuckle. I threw that pitch probably every other
pitch.
I remember
I dropped down once. El Duque, Orlando Hernandez, where like sometimes he'd throw from up here. Sometimes I remember dropping down once, like way low, just for a strikeout. Strikeout.
In Davis Little League?
I remember. Well, probably not Little League. This is maybe whatever was between Little League and like junior high. Ninth grade.
Yeah.
But summer ball or something.
Batter couldn't have been that good.
No, could not have been.
Didn't you strike out Pedroia?
No, I got a hit off Dustin Pedroia. When I told him about it several years ago when he was on the Red Sox, he said, of course you did. I was a shitty pitcher.
Would you say a seed or like a bloop?
You know, I think any hit you had then probably you thought was a seed. If we watched the tape today, it was probably a bloop.
Well, like a grounder,
no, it was
like
just back
a,
up
in
the middle,
air.
Just kind of a, you know, it was probably a bloop. Yeah, probably is what it was. That was my signature, signature bloop.
Did he graduate? Was he our?
He was a year older than us.
Gotcha. Yeah. Woodland
That's
Wolf.
Right. All right. On that note, 7 o'clock. Don't forget. Tell your friends. We'll be there Wednesday night. Wine Wednesday with Am. We're not really branding it that, but it's fun to say. We'll be watching a bunch of Trey Lance tape. You want to throw just for the tube? I don't want to show anything. I don't want to give anything away here.
Yeah, I'd save.
We'll do that Wednesday night. Tube only. Haberman and Middlecoff YouTube channel. We'll be watching a bunch of Trey Lance cut-ups. So join us for that. Thanks for hanging, everybody.
Peace.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.